Thank you, Chris and Jen. Appreciate it very much. Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Great to be with you in worship today. Not only those of you that are present, but those of you that are joining us on live stream. As you soon begin your spiritual journey with Brother Mike as your pastor and Brother Mike and Mindy as your pastor and family, as they serve together with you, serve God. We lift up the name of the Lord God with exaltation. We lift up the name of the Lord in praise through the teaching, through the preaching, and through the living of with the Lord God Most High. I'd like to begin today with a moment of prayer. A moment of prayer for Brother Mike as he prepares to finish his service at his church now, as he prepares to come to be your servant here. Not only pray for Brother Mike, but pray for Mindy and the children as well. And not only them, but to pray for you as First Baptist Church Windsor in your journey together. And then I would like to add this morning, some of you may not know him, but a very, very dear friend of ours who was pastor at First Baptist Sedalia, Doyle Sager, passed away Friday night. And back, I believe it was in the 70s, wasn't it, that he was at Calhoun? Somewhere around in there, I believe, early in his ministry. But pray for Janet and the two girls and boy, their sons, their family, as they go through this time of grief, as well as First Baptist Jefferson City. He was pastor there for something like 27 years. So we'll pray for them. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the guidance as this church begins a new chapter in service to you and with you. We ask that you bless Brother Mike and his family as they prepare for their commitment and service together with this family of God. We also pray for Redford Baptist Church as they begin your guidance in search of a new pastor. We ask that you bless this service today. Touch our hearts and lives, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It's hard to believe, but January 24th, 2021. I don't know where this month has gone, but it just sort of flew by. And that's sort of the way time is. Time flies by, and a lot of times, not only does it fly by, but time has a habit of just sort of crashing in on us. And, you know, speaking of time, of how it crashes in on us, and the word time, the late comedian and pianist Victor Borgia once told a friend, he said, "You know, my piano can tell time." The guy looked at him and said, "No way. No way can a piano tell time." And he said, "Sure, I'll show you." So he went over to his piano and he started banging a loud march that only Victor Borgia would play. And it was just real loud. Next thing you knew, right on the wall, a banging on the wall, and said, "Will you cut the music? It's loud. It's 1:30 in the morning. Don't you know that it's too loud for us?" Victor Borgia turned to his friend and said, "See, I told you my piano could tell time." Well, that's what happens in life. Everywhere in life, it just goes by time. It was January 6th, 1850. It was bitterly cold in Colchester, England. A blizzard was beginning in that time, It was on a Sunday morning. They were going to have worship services. And as that blizzard came, well, obviously the people began to stay at home because of how bad the weather was. 12 people showed up that day. And they thought, "Wait a minute, the preacher's not here. Well, they found out that the preacher couldn't get out because it was so bad. So one of the men in the congregation stood up and he began reading Scripture. And he began with Isaiah 45:22, and he said this, "Turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." After the prayer, they all left because the weather was getting worse, and they were sort of down, thinking, well, you know, that really wasn't worship today. We just read a passage of Scripture, and now we're leaving. And they felt like it was a total loss. However, they did not realize that a 15-year-old boy had ducked into the back of the sanctuary to escape the snowstorm, to find some warmth and some comfort to get out of the snow. He heard the Scripture, he heard the prayer. This 15-year-old boy, through that one verse of Scripture from God, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, allowed Christ to come into his heart and his life. Years later, that boy, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote this, "Don't hold back because you cannot preach in St. Paul's. Be content to talk to one or two in a cottage. You may cook in small pots as well as big ones. Little pigeons can carry great messages. Even a little dog can bark at a thief, wake up for the master and save the house. Do what you do thoroughly. Pray over it with heart. And then leave the results to God." It has been said, it's not scholarship that matters, but relationship. Relationships. Not ability, but availability. Not fame, but faith. Not who you know, but instead it's whose you know. You know God, leaving the results to God. We don't really understand it, but God uses ordinary people. God uses everyone that is willing to be used, fills them with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things. So once again, God uses ordinary people to do His extraordinary things. And the Bible gives us a lot of examples. For instance, in the Old Testament, while tending the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, Moses carried a rod in his hand, probably a shepherd's staff. You know, God used that ordinary rod to teach Moses his plan. That ordinary rod was used by God to meet the needs of the Israelite people as they fled from Pharaoh. And they became trapped then with that great, massive body of water known as the Red Sea. It was the rod of God that Moses used as he lifted up to part the waters of the Red Sea to allow the people to escape from Pharaoh. It didn't have jewels on it. It was an ordinary rod made of wood, fashioned for a specific purpose. It didn't have elaborate ornamentation on it. But God took that ordinary rod to meet the needs of the people in their mass escape, in their exodus. There's another example that's found in the New Testament. It's about an ordinary boy who came to the Lord and gave the Lord five ordinary loaves of bread, two ordinary fish to feed 5,000 people. Using ordinary food, Jesus met the needs of the people. As they gathered around to hear him preach, he met their needs with just ordinary food. And yet there was one other that I can think of, Paul. Paul wrote, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Also in Philippians 4, 9, when he said, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me," he said, "do. And the God of peace will be with you." All of that, many more, but those are just three. God used the ordinary to provide for those who needed Christ, who provided for those who would follow Christ, like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Moses, the boy with the bread and the fish, as well as Paul. You are about to enter the beginning of a spiritual journey under God's leadership. There's a key to this. The key to the journey is the involvement and the commitment of every ordinary Christian. We're all ordinary, used by God. Just like the Corinthian church, in doing so, we all must consider the call. Years ago, a young man just out of high school entered college. He felt in his heart that God wanted him to do something in ministry. He didn't know what, but this young man asked God, "Show me what it is you want me to do in ministry." Well, he served the Lord in part-time service as a music and youth leadership. Then one day, this young man went to an evangelism conference, and he heard a message that changed the course of his life. No fireworks went off. No whistles would be blown. There was no big emotional display. It's just that young man felt God speaking to his heart. The message spoke the truth that he heard at that evangelism conference, and it went deep into his heart. And he discovered that it was God's direct word to him saying this: "God has a place where you can be your best for Him." It was at that moment that God was calling him into a full-time Christian service under God's leadership. Oh, by the way, I'm that young man. I was that young man. Let's put it that way. God spoke to me that day. And with the leading of the Holy Spirit, I prayed this: "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll say what you want me to say." Thus began my spiritual journey. Consider the call. Consider the call as we find in 1 Corinthians, the first verse, first chapter, verse 26, when it says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth." It said there, think of what you were when you were called, when God spoke to you, touched your heart and life. Paul had previously reminded them of their calling in the first chapter, verse 2, when he says this, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." The church. What is the church? Brother Mike expounded some on that last week, and we all sometimes think about that word, church. And what is the church? The people of God that are gathered in Jesus Christ. It's an organized community of people, or a body of believers, if you will, who share commonly their personal experience with Jesus Christ. All of that united in love, faith, and loyalty to God as well as each other. Each of you with Brother Mike and Mindy are set apart by the call of God, set apart for an obedient service to God. In the calling, Christ needs you. Or, as the part of the country Carolyn came from, she would say, y'all. He needs y'all to accomplish this mission. Together, you can make a difference. You can make a difference, and as God opens doors, we see from that door a vision. We find in Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 9 and 10, these words from God. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice something there, what it's saying. After Paul had seen the vision, he saw the vision, and afterwards, they said, we got ready at once. You know, as I heard from God that message that day as a 15-year-old boy, I still remember God laying on my heart. God has a place where you can be your best for Him. God's plan, God's design was for Paul and Silas to minister to those that he had already prepared for receiving the gospel. You see, God sees all things. While God sees all things, we see our yesterdays. God sees our tomorrows. We sow the seed. God prepares the ground. We hunt. God knows where the game is. We fish. God prepares for the great fish, and He directs us to it. Now the only thing that is left to do is the harvesting. The Lord stated in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 38, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers into the harvest." Whose harvest? His harvest. God's harvest. William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, said this, "O God, what can I say? Souls, souls, souls. My heart hungers for souls." As we go through, as you go through your spiritual journey, we see a venture. We consider the call from God. We see the venture in the journey. In Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 11 and 12, "From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight from Samothrace. And the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And there we stayed for several days." What's key to that? They sail straight on the next day. A venture. As I stated a few moments ago, it's not scholarship that matters, but it's relationship. It's relationships, not ability, but availability, not fame, but faith, not who you are, but whose you are. Always remember this. In spite of all of this, we are ordinary, but that's okay, because God delights in using an ordinary people to do His work. And in doing so, consider something. Consider the cross. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, verses 27 and following. "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Consider the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ wasn't gold. It wasn't made up of silver. Nor was it filled with jewels. The cross of Jesus Christ was made of ordinary wood. But God used it to change the world. No matter how ordinary one may think they are, we can be used by God. We can be used by God. As Brother Mike prepares for his ministry with you, you can be used by God with him. What about you? Are you an ordinary young adult, young person, an ordinary Sunday school teacher? Are you just ordinary in all that you do for Christ? Are you an ordinary deacon? An ordinary soft-spoken Christian who loves Jesus but at times find it very difficult to express your faith? Are you ordinary? Good, because God will use you. God uses ordinary people. But there's a two-letter word, if you are available for his use. Then when you do this, consider the Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 30 and 31, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom for God, from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Henry Blackaby once wrote this: when God was ready to judge the world with a flood, he came to Noah. When he desired to build a nation for himself, he came to Abraham. When he heard his children groaning in Egyptian bondage, he appeared in a burning bush to Moses. All ordinary men, all ordinary people. But God had a work to do, and God was going to use them to do that work. He's always given people assignments. We think sometimes we graduate from school, we still receive assignments. We still grow and learn. Assignments, sometimes we think, wow, they're too big for me to handle. And that's true sometimes. So God uses the ordinary with that assignment to make a difference in the world. The world is watching. So it's not what we can do, but it's what God can do through us. Paul said, he is our wisdom. Jesus is our knowledge to God. Jesus is the one whom we are set apart to live for God. Billy Graham once said, every generation is strategic. We are not responsible for the past generation. And we cannot bear full responsibility for the future generations. But we do have a responsibility to our present generation. Your name may not be Noah, may not be Abraham, may not be Moses, but there's still something, a great something, which God has for you. Only you and God know what that something is. The key to it all is, as you begin a spiritual journey with Brother Mike and Mindy, join with them in the willingness to to say, God, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but here I am. Here I am, Lord. The ordinary journey in an ordinary person's life can become extraordinary as you yield to God. Let me ask you today, have you really given your heart and life to Christ, inviting Him into your heart and life as Lord and Savior? It's not too late. You can today. Right where you are, you can give your heart and life to Christ. Are you a Christian and your plan with God seems to be out of sync? That your life, for whatever reason, seems to be outside of God's will for your life? Well, maybe you just need to pray as a Christian in renewing, recommitting that life to Jesus Christ. Are you in search of a church home, whether you're live stream or here, as you are in search of a church home which to serve Christ? Pray about joining together this body of believers, First Baptist Windsor. As God speaks to you today, hear Him. Oh, we're all just ordinary, but what God wants is for us to say, what is it you want me to do? I am with you. I hear you. Follow Him. And come as God leads. Give your heart to Jesus Christ today. Give your service. Give your ordinary life to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Touch our hearts, and may we hear you and may we follow you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As we stand together and sing, what is it God has on your heart today?